Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of A Cast to the Past, the show where we break down the beautiful and the terrible things that we watch, that we experience growing up, be it a video game, a movie, a show about professional wrestling, which was the previous episode that you can check out right here on YouTube or on your favorite podcast app. We talked about WrestleMania 14, but every now and then, we like to do these smaller episodes that are around 15, 20 minutes in length. The best thing is that if you're on a lunch break, this is perfect. You can listen to this during your lunch break and everything else during work. I won't tell your boss, but you can totally do that. And you can check us out, a brand new episode each and every Sunday. And from here up until the end of the year, per suggestion of Mr. Keith Poshak, he brought up an excellent idea, which is we're talking about the past, right? But so many good things happened in 2018, entertainment-wise, games, movies, and even music, that with these smaller episodes, we're going to be doing a top three favorite things from 2018 for each respective host. So for this edition, it's going to be Keith Poshak's list, but you're not alone.
That's me.
Because you're going to be joined by Ryan McNulty from Boston, Massachusetts, and this guy right here, Juan Velas from Puerto Rico. Keith, this episode is all about you, baby. It's about you.
Are you ready? Are you afraid?
Oh, I'm always afraid when I record with you.
That is fair, as you should be.
If it's all about Keith, there's a good reason we're keeping this short to 15 minutes, right?
Exactly, because you don't
want to give me too much rope or else something very bad is going to happen.
Yeah, so the three of us have previously worked on our lists, and I just want to ask before we begin this journey here, was it hard to sort of pick out the top three things for each one?
Yes and no, because I had my list in mind, but as I kind of went through all the things that came out this year and all the things that I consumed, it became like this thing. Well, do I actually like it more than this? Well, no, not really. And then the list that I originally thought of ended up being my list that I'm going to present here today. So just get into it.
Just jump right in, because I was going to say, I got some catching up to do in 2018 before my list.
Mine wasn't the reason why yours is going to be last.
Yeah. So, Keith,
yes.
Take it away, my friend. What is number three?
Number three, in the order of my favorite things, I would have to say that Eminem's new album, Kamikaze, is my third favorite thing of 2018. Now, I don't know if I've actually ever said this on a podcast or anything, but Eminem is probably my favorite artist ever. I would say if I went back into my life and where the corruption started, where everything kind of went wrong, it would be the D12 album Devil's Night. I listened to it at a friend's house, and it really stuck with me, probably in a way that I shouldn't have listened to as like a 10-year-old. And from that, just kind of spawned out. It probably does. And then, you know, like growing up, I love the Marshall Mathers LP. I would say that the Eminem Show is one of my most influential albums of my life. And then last year, Eminem put out an album called Revival, and it really sucked. Like, there's a couple of good songs on there. Like, I really like the song with Ed Sheeran that I'm completely blanking on the name right now. It was real good, though. But, you know, overall, a pretty crappy album. So Eminem kind of released this album, Kamikaze, out of nowhere, and it was aimed at, like, a lot of the hate that he got for his previous album. And it was a knock out of the park. Oh, it was so good. I love almost every single track on this album. It feels like old Eminem in a way that I really appreciate. And in a weird way, I got some closure out of this album where how I mentioned that D12's Devil's Night was the first thing that really kicked it off for me with the corruption. And there's a track on Kamikaze called Stepping Stone that is basically Eminem officially saying, like, D12 is done. It's never coming back. Just cut all the rumors. It's not happening. And in a weird way, I got some closure about that I really appreciate. And I would say that's probably my favorite track on that album. But yeah, Kamikaze, great listen. Even if you're not a huge Eminem fan like myself, if you want to understand why he's as great as he is, I think Kamikaze is a good jumping point for that, even though it is near the end of his career. I give it an overall thumbs up. It's my third favorite thing of the year. So let's move on to number two, which is probably as much as a tonal shift that you could probably do. And and this is the Avengers Affinity War. I would say that easily this was my favorite movie of the year. Just an entire, like, it's the focal point of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I love the Marvel movies. I know, Juan, you've mentioned in the past that you're not a big fan of the Marvel movies.
I've become, it's not even that I wasn't a big fan. I think I became overwhelmed with them. It became the Marvel formula, which is you think of a Marvel movie, despite the character, you kind of know what you're in for, right? Now, the Avengers movies, I did watch Infinity War, beautiful movie. I think like they were able to take my favorite things about the first Iron Man, about the first Captain America. And I like that because you had the comedy, but you also had the seriousness. And obviously with this movie, I mean, the ultimate payoff that's going to deliver in the other movie, I thought that was really good. Ryan, did you watch that?
I have not seen it. I think I as well got very burnt out on the superhero movies, but with all the memes and everybody talking about this movie, I should at least see this one.
Mm-hmm. And I think those are very fair criticisms, especially about the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole. And even going into this movie, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, they're supposed to be every superhero in this movie. How are they going to fill a movie and feel like everybody got appropriate time? Like, you have the Avengers, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you have Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, everybody is supposed to be in this movie. Is it just going to be like a showcase of cameos? But they nailed it perfectly. Everybody feels like they are on screen for the exact right amount of time. The superheroes, anyway, if I had to criticize this movie, it's that the villains minus Thanos didn't really feel that important and got lost in the shuffle.
Good point,
but
yeah.
But the story of the Avengers versus Thanos is one of the best movies I've my favorite movie of the year and easily one of the best movies I have seen in a long time. This is big praise coming from me, a Star Wars junkie, but I would say that Infinity War is better than almost every Star Wars movie out there.
Whoa. As far, whoa. That is huge coming from you.
I won't say The Empire Strikes Back. I will fight that to my dying breath, but for most of the Star Wars movies, I would put this movie above it because it is just so good. And a lot of the superhero movies try to, they either take themselves too seriously or they're too funny. They end up on both, like, on either extreme of that
spectrum. I did see Ragnarok, and there's the one that goes too far in one direction.
Exactly. And Infinity War, I think, is a masterclass example of where to ride that line in the middle. It does both so well. I love this movie. If you haven't checked out Infinity War, you don't really need to see all of the movies leading up to it. It's kind of its own nice little package as well. It's worth checking out.
I think that's the biggest credit that I deserve is because admittedly, I haven't seen all of the previous ones. I've watched all the Captain America ones, but I didn't even see a Thor Ragnarok. So going into this one, I didn't feel lost. And that's a big challenge for a movie with so many characters. So really good pick there.
Mm-hmm. So now kind of on the other end of movies, my biggest disappointment of the year comes in the form of a movie as well. And that's, I mentioned I'm a Star Wars fan. Well, it's not exactly a good year to be a Star Wars fan this year, because I would say my biggest disappointment of the year is Solo, a Star Wars story. Came out earlier this year, it kind of got bumped from the Star Wars Christmas spot and was almost going head-to-head with Infinity War. And I understand why, after seeing the movie, where I feel like they just tried to bury this movie under Marvel. Like, let's not pay too much attention to it, and let's move on with this great thing, because, man, Solo sucked. I really don't have many good things to say about Solo. The leading up to it, there were rumors that it was kind of caught in like director's hell, where the main director got fired. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but was replaced by Ron Howard. They had to reshoot almost the entire movie. So it kind of seemed like it was going to fail from the beginning, and it did nothing to deliver, where I thought if the movie felt too rushed, the pacing was terrible, and the part that killed me the most is everything felt so convenient. Like, if you haven't seen Solo, I guess, spoiler warning, you're not going to care much if you haven't seen it, but just
Should
so
I
you're
block
warned.
My ears?
nah. But, like, the thing that killed me the most was that, like, for the last almost 20 years, if not more, they've been building up this whole thing about, like, Chewbacca owes Han Solo a life debt. Something happened between Chewie and Han that was, like, so important that Chewie thought that he owed Han Solo his life. That's why they're best friends. Then you find out in this movie that it's just, oh, he helped him get out of a cage. And then it just completely took all of that significance out of it. And then everything just felt so convenient, like kind of almost like a Star Wars amusement park ride. Like, oh, here's Chewbacca. Now they're friends. Oh, look, they found the Millennium Falcon and Lando has it. Remember how we told you that Han Solo won it in a game of space cards? Well, here they're going to go play space cards. And here's Daenerys from Game of Thrones. Dude, does she love Han Solo or is she using Han Solo? I don't know. Oh, hey, remember that guy we chopped in half during the first Star Wars movie? Well, he's not chopped in half anymore, so here he is as the super main bad guy. Like, it felt like this whole, we need to fit as much Star Wars into this as we can, and it just fell flat miserably.
Keith, before you keep going, before this movie was announced, there were rumors for a long time that we were going to be getting a Solo movie. So before knowing any details about the cast, being such a huge Star Wars fan, were you excited about the possibility?
Oh, absolutely. I hope everything is good Star Wars related, and I hope for the best until I am proven wrong and Solo proved me wrong in a serious way.
I mean, there's a reason why a lot of the side story Star Wars movies have been put on hold after this one. And not to mention, I think we're all getting kind of oversaturated with Star Wars. I mean, this came out, like, what, less than 6 months after The Last Jedi? And I think there was quite a number of people, including myself, who were kind of had a bad taste in their mouth after The Last Jedi and were not really inspired to go out and see this. After it really just feels like you feel the cash-in-ness of Disney on Star Wars right now.
The money.
It doesn't seem like it's being treated as delicately as it should.
Hard to disagree with that, even though I love The Last Jedi. It's a great movie.
Oh.
I won't hear otherwise. That's probably a conversation for another day.
10 years on that one, all right?
Exactly. We're not there yet, Keith. It's not retro enough.
Fair enough. We'll get there. But let's go to my number one thing now. I think we've given Solo as much time as it deserves, if not more. So moving on to the greatest thing of 2018 as far as I'm concerned. And it's this little game called Monster Hunter World. Before this game came out, I was one of those people that was always fascinated by Monster Hunter in the way that it looked fun, but it was also impenetrable. Like, there's just a ton of systems on systems on systems that seemed like a giant slog, a giant grind that I didn't want to get into. Then I kind of heard from preview coverage and people talking about it, like, if you want to get into Monster Hunter, this is the one to get into. So I bought it the day it came out, said, all right, I'm going to give Monster Hunter a serious try. And now I've put about 350 hours into the PS4 version this year.
Wow.
I fell in love with Monster Hunter World in a serious way. It just kind of clicked. Like, it was a little slow at first. It's not a game for everyone. It's very methodical and timed out. It almost feels like a fighting game, in the way that every weapon feels so different. Like, there's a bunch of different weapon types, like a long sword or a great sword or a bow or like dual daggers or a giant hammer. And every one of them feels so different from one another that you might love one and hate every single one, but that one is enough to carry you through. So it took me a while to find the one that I love. I ended up landing on the bow. And since then, I haven't stopped. I've definitely slowed down, where once the giant gold, I'm going to butcher his name, but it's like Kulv Teroth. Once he came out, I kind of fell off a little bit, but I still check in every now and then.
You've only played 300 hours, Keith.
Only
worth $60.
350 hours. Definitely not worth my $60. I got more than my money's worth this time. It's just so much fun just grinding out monsters. This is a game where I've spent an entire Friday night farming the same monster over and over again. That's how much fun I had, and then I was excited to do it again the next day. Monster Hunter World is so good, it just clicked for me, and like I said, it's probably not for everybody, especially if you don't like grindy Diablo games and just very slow combat. Like, you need to hit those check marks if you're going to actually get anything out of this game. But if you do, it's fantastic. I can't recommend Monster Hunter World enough, and that's why it's my favorite thing of 2018.
I actually had a chance to play it, and I played it with you a couple of times, and mm-hmm. I even went as far as to play the original one for PS2 when it first came out, and the PSP one. I was very surprised to see the mainstream appeal that this one managed to get, because even though I agree with you, it's definitely the most accessible one out of the bunch, it's still Monster Hunter. It's still time-consuming.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a lot of
YouTube videos on what to do with certain things.
Yeah. In your case, Ryan, have you ever been interested in checking that game out? Because it's old. Once again,
yeah,
it started on the PS2.
Yeah, I've definitely been interested because I've heard about the series for a long time. I had known people who had played it. And back in the original Wii day, I heard that I think it was Monster Hunter Tri was supposed to be one of the better games on the Wii. I just never ended up getting around to it. And now I think it just comes down to the fact that I only have the Switch of the newer consoles. So it's just an accessibility thing as to why
I'm
going to
eventually be checking out that Switch Monster Hunter game. So we might have to go with that together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's based on the 3DS game, I believe,
maybe?
Okay.
It is a remake of the 3DS game.
Okay, good. I think I got the information. If not, Ryan will edit something on the YouTube version to sort of contextualize things and make it accurate. But those have been Keith's top three favorite things from 2018, and we unfortunately had a disappointing thing, which has to really hurt, because if it's like a general disappointing thing, that's fine. But when it's something about a franchise that you love and that you're passionate about, as you mentioned, you want it to always be good. You never want the next movie to be mediocre or bad. So when it is, it's a little bit heartbreaking. But for everybody listening and watching, let us know what has been some of your favorite things from 2018. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, send us an email, acasttothepast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on social media by searching for the exact same thing. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. And we have a bunch of stuff coming up. Remember, we are available every single Sunday. And every single Sunday, we give you something just a little bit different, but the same team. So, Ryan, what can we expect for the next couple of weeks, my friend?
Well, Juan, we can expect coming up on December 2nd, a look at Grand Theft Auto 3, the start of sort of this new era of open world games that's not so new anymore, but definitely a revolutionary game. On December 9th, we're going to be doing Juan's top 10 pick of 2018. So it's going to be your turn to go, man. Better start thinking of them.
I got it, top threes.
On December 16th, we're going to be taking a look at a holiday classic, Home Alone. It's going to be a good one. I bet Joe Pesci is excited.
It's going to be excited. Probably. Just every time you say the word Joe Pesci, somebody gets his wings.
Yep. I pray to Joe Pesci. On December 23rd, we're going to be looking at my top three. It's going to be like an early Christmas present for everybody. Picks of 2018. So I'm excited for that one. And on December 30th, the votes are in, and we'll announce it on the next episode. Your viewer pick movie of either Mortal Kombat, Super Mario Brothers the movie, or Air Bud. So that will be a fun announcement on the next episode. You guys picked it, and we'll let you know what it is.
Yeah, so thank you for the update. Hope everybody enjoyed it. You can check out previous episodes, including A Link to the Past, favorite Super Nintendo games, WrestleMania 14, The Matrix, 90s movie trends, and a lot more on the YouTube channel and podcast app. So until next time, thank you for watching and listening, and we will be back with more of a cast
to the
past.
I was hoping we would remember it because we're not really rehearsing this. So.
I was like, oh, yeah, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if Ryan says something, I'll go. If he doesn't, I won't go.
We'll do
so that's
this.
That's why I said past.
Yeah. Everybody listening, just whenever we close it off, feel free to rate from 1 out of 10 just how we did with the outro. And then we can sort of pick
it's gonna
the,
be like
the best
skating,
one to go
from
there.
Everyone, hold up your sign.
But take care, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening.